us. You want to encourage us. You want to show us our shortcomings. You want to show us where you want us to change our thoughts and our minds and to believe, to change from doubt to faith, Lord. So tonight we ask you to come and just bring this word. Make it so simple that all of us, Lord, every one of us little human beings with our little minds, we can understand because it's a revelation, Lord. Help us now. Lord, we just believe this, Father. In your name we ask this, Jesus. Amen. If you want to turn your Bibles to John, the 14th chapter, we'll read from there first. Then we'll read out of Mark 16. But we'll start at John 14. Very, very familiar scripture. Brother Branham quoted this over and over and over. So we're just going to read John 14 and 12. And it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." How many thousands of times have you heard the prophet quote that in the messages? All of the time. He wasn't quoting it just to be quoting it. He was quoting it so we would actually believe it. Let's keep going. Verse 13, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do." That will put you in the rapture if you would just believe that. "Whatsoever you ask in my name." See, there's the kicker. Because it's got to be in his name. Oh, and I'm just calling the name of Jesus. It means in his will and according to his word. So now you have to find his will for you. Then you can ask anything in his name. You're going to be fine. Takes a revelation. Verse 14. I'm sorry. Let's finish that. "That the Father may be glorified in the Son, and if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." He just said it as plain as he could. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Please be seated. Turn to Mark 16. Another place Brother Branham quoted constantly. Next, Mark 16, if I can find Mark. Here we go. Verse 15, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." That was Jesus speaking to you, to the believers. And Brother Branham said, that's not just for the ministers, that's for the laity, that's for all believers. All right? Tonight we're going to speak a little bit, and I thought I was kind of done with this, but I am not done, I guess, at all. We're going to speak again where we spoke before. I quoted this many times, I'm going to say it again. Oh, if the church only knew its position, it will one day, then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. When it knows what it is, what the church recognizes, what it means to be the bride of Christ, and all that goes with it. Everything that goes with it. Brother Branham said, you are a super race. You are a whole different race than everyone else on earth, because you've been birthed into a new birth, a new life. You have different life in you than everyone else on earth. You are a super race. Jesus said, ask anything in my name, I'll do it for you. He said, if you're a believer, you can do all these things. You can drink deadly things. You can pick up snakes. Nothing's going to harm you. And all Jesus is wanting to do is get us to believe what he's telling us. And so when I look at that, my human mind goes to this. Oh my goodness, it's the third pull. We can speak squirrels into existence. We can speak storms out of existence. We can call for rain. We can do all these wonderful things. Oh boy, when this hits, we are going to be some super Christians. Isn't that where your mind goes sometime? Oh, when that happens, it's going to be so good. Oh, brother, let me tell you what. People are just going to be like, wow, what a Christian he is. Remember one thing. When the rapture goes, nobody's going to hardly know it. So how big of a splash are you going to be making before the rapture? Even message believers. You know what Brother Branham said? How they know the rapture, the people are going to know the rapture has gone? When they recognize they're in tribulation. And they're going to say, oh, I thought the rasher was supposed to go first. He said, I hear a little voice speak back and said it already went and you missed it. That's how the average message believer is going to know the rapture went. How do you like to be pulling up your internet and look at the news and it comes up and says there's two prophets have raised up in Israel? If that happens, you're in trouble. Because Brother Branham said the bride is gone before they do. So what is this super race going to be? What's it going to look like? Let me read some things Brother Branham said here. First of all, he says, what did God put man here for? What is your purpose here? Oh, it's to be a good religious person. It's to be a good Christian. It's to be good to my neighbor. It's to do all this. Well, that's like the result of why you're here. That's not the purpose. God, when he made man in the beginning, he made him superior to anything on earth. He gave him jurisdiction of everything on earth to control everything. He controlled the animal life, the fowl life, the fishes of the sea. He controlled the winds. He controlled the plant life. He controlled everything. That was man's purpose on earth at the beginning. And everything that Adam lost is restored to this super race at the end time. That's your purpose. To control this earth. You say, well, I'll tell you what, the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to get rid of all these politics in the White House. No, I'm not talking about that. That's not the control we're talking about. Let me tell you the first earth you have to control. It's the earth you walk around in. Because God ain't going to give you control over anything else until you start controlling this. Because if he can't trust you with this, he can't trust you with anything else either. Think about it. That's why so many people, they run on the gifts. They see the gift. A preacher can get about it. I can get up here. I'm anointed. I can preach and preach a good sermon and go out. But if I can't control this, God can't trust me with the authority to control the rest of the world either. Don't be fooled by a gift, folks. Look for the character of Christ. What's the result of the ministry? What's the result? Brother Paul says he loves people and he's doing all. What's the result of it? Is it so Brother Paul can come in here and puff up and say, boy, I love everybody so much. Where's the character? Man was made a secondary god on earth. He was given the power to control all things, all elements of the earth. All the elements of the earth, you are given control over it. The only thing right now that's keeping that from happening is our unbelief of who we are. Again, I'm not talking about we're going to take over the world. That is not the word for this day. The word for this day is we control ourselves. We control the spirits that have come against us. We take God at his word. We follow in the word. Whatever God leads us to do, that's what we do. We're not going off and showing up. I got power to do this. I got power to do that. Do you have power to follow the word? Do you have power to be led by the Holy Spirit? Because if you don't have the power to subject yourself like Christ did and go to the cross and die to yourself and your pride and stop protecting your pride and do what Christ asked you to do, you have no power at all. And it doesn't matter if you have a gift to raise the dead. You can have the gift to preach. You can have the gift to bring signs and wonders, to speak in tongues. But if you don't have the power to be led by the Holy Spirit, it's all for nothing. Can you forgive from your own old rugged cross? Have you recognized that to live, you must die? Boy, that's good. Have you learned what it means to die to yourself so that you can live? And it's not me living anymore, then it's Christ living through me. And I see him doing things that just boggles my mind. I've seen it in you. I've seen you die to yourself. I see you humble yourself, even though it hurt. You did it anyways. And your flesh is there, man, man, man. And you just say, nope. And you love anyways. Why? Because we're a really good Christian, Brother Phil. Let me just put one word to that. Baloney. It's because you learned who Jesus Christ is. You know him as a person, not a religion. You're not doing this because you're following rules. You're doing this because you love. And it's not your love who does it, because your love won't do that. Your human love will not die to yourself. Even when you do something that, like you take these people who are given to the poor and they're doing all these wonderful things, it's exalting the self. God, surely you're impressed with me now. Control all the elements of the earth. So when Satan brings his thoughts against you, you make your choice. Will I control these spirits and these thoughts coming against me, or will I allow it to ruin my atmosphere? Wasn't that good what Brother Jewel preached? Your whole battle, brother and sister, is to create the right atmosphere for faith to grow the word. When you get beyond that, brother and sister, you're off the word. Create an atmosphere of faith. And Satan's job is to create an atmosphere of doubt and strife and worry and pain and all these other things and art and unbelief. And our job is to create an atmosphere when the word comes in and it sinks in there and it's planted. But then if we walk out there and we create an atmosphere, or we allow Satan to create an atmosphere around us that is not faith, that word just becomes dormant. How many times has a minister come? Brother Jerry done it, I've done it. And you come and you preach the same thing over and over and over again. Why? Because that seed that's been planted is then allowed to go dormant because you don't keep it in the right atmosphere. If not, that seed would grow and we would have to preach it again. I'm the worst, brother and sister. I am up here just whipping myself because I can create a worse atmosphere and kill that seed in a heartbeat. Don't think I'm here preaching down to you. I'm right there with you. I can tell how many times Brother Jerry had to get up and preach the same thing over and over, right to me. We get prayed for, and we get believing. We walk out of here believing we're going to do this. We're going to keep an atmosphere. We're going to change. And then we go out there, and we get into an atmosphere. And Satan knows our weakness. He knows how to create that atmosphere. He knows how to get someone to say something to us. He knows how to get your boss to get on your wrong side. He knows how to get someone to cut you off in traffic. And the next thing you know, you're in this nasty attitude, and you just don't like anybody anymore. And oh, if everyone just leave me alone. And then we wonder why we got to go to church and get preached to again. If you're laughing, you're guilty. And the grace of God says, okay, we'll do it again. Let's preach it again. Thank you, Lord. He loves us so much. He's child training. It's just the way you raise a kid, isn't it? You tell your kid, do you have raised kids, you tell him to do something, he does it, then the next thing you know, he's not doing it anymore. Say, hey, I told you to do it this way. And so he does it, and then he's not doing it anymore. And you say, hey, I told you to do it this way. And then he says, well, I don't want to do it that way. So you bring a little correction, and he just starts doing it the right way. That's how you raise kids. That's how God's raising us. Isn't he wonderful? What if he just threw you away? I would have. How do you know you would have thrown those away? Because I threw myself away. I said, I just can't do this anymore. I'm out of here. He said, you might have thrown yourself away. I'm not throwing you away. Get back in here. Oh, the grace of God. My. He said, that was Adam. Adam was given these great powers. But then the power that he was given to make himself is where he fell. Adam could speak to the wind, it would stop. He could speak to the trees, they would obey him. He could speak to the wildlife, it would obey him. He could speak to the water, everyone it was. Everything obeyed Adam. That is your inheritance. The same Jesus that stood up there on that boat and said, peace, be still, is the same Jesus that speaks to you and controls everything. You say, then why do we still have all these trials? Because we're still in this world. He's training us. He's teaching us. He's getting us to believe. Let me just say something real quick, just so I'm get on. We're not waiting on God for the rapture. He's waiting on us. He's ready for the rapture. He's saying, if my bride would just believe me a little bit more. What I say, just actually take that at face value and believe it. But we got our ideas of what it must be. Right before the rapture, we're just going to be these super Christians. Let me poke a hole in that balloon for you. Right now, you're as a super Christian as you're ever going to be. I sure don't feel like one. Good. God didn't bring you here to make you feel like a super Christian. He brought you here to take control. And if you start feeling super, you're off the track because now you got some pride in there. A super Christian is a Christian who surrenders their life to Christ and says, you're in control. I can't do anything on my own. He's just waiting for us to come to believe who we are, to recognize who we are. More than just a doctrine, when it's a life. He said that was in the beginning of man. That's why God gave him power over everything on earth. Now, through the fall, he lost that power. Then, listen to this. Then he becomes unconscious of the fact after losing his relationship and friendship and fellowship with the Father. Then he lost that, and all of this great channels become clogged up. He couldn't get through. He couldn't get through. So after the fall, what happens is man starts trying to regain that fellowship with God, and he uses religion to do it. And he knows he's fallen from someplace, and there's something in him crying to get back in fellowship with God. And God's saying, I want fellowship with you. But until the Calvary came, there was no way because the blood wasn't shed yet. But after Calvary, there was a way back. But what happened? Satan got into religion and tried to help man get back to God. And that's where our struggle is, brothers and sisters. Satan gets into our religion and tries to help us get back to God. That's every denomination has ever come up with that. Anything that's off the word is Satan trying to help you get back to God. It can't happen. That's why we have the pure word to strip us down from all our own thoughts, our own religion, our own ideas, our own legalism, our own whatever we had to add to it. Well, I believe what you're saying, Brother Phil, but what? But your own thought? Well, this is just the way I've always believed it. That sure doesn't make it right. He became unconscious of the fact. He lost the power, then he became unconscious. What is it? He became unconscious of what he was called to do. And instead of that, message believers think we're just called to follow a prophet. We're just called to believe a message. We're just called to live a good life. We lost consciousness of the fact that we are called to control the elements. This is the first thing. This is what you have to control first. And my little tiny pride feelings hurt. And all of this means so much to me. Because I hate being hurt. I hate being vulnerable. I hate when people can say evil against me. I hate when they ridicule me. I hate it. And so that's where God takes me. He says, have another dose, son. This medicine makes you feel sick, but it's good for you. Take a little bit of humble pie. I'm going to have someone say something that's going to hurt your feelings today. I'm going to have someone say something that shakes your confidence today. I'm going to have someone say something that makes you feel bad today. It's your medicine. Take it. So what do? You slurp it down, you say, thank you, Lord. Feel horrible. Thank you, Lord. Why? Because you've been through enough that you know this is the good medicine. This is what's making the change in your life. Brother Bram said, if it don't make you sick, it's not doing you any good. Hopefully you're all getting sick right now. What Adam was in God, Christ has redeemed us back to that. A redeemer to redeem everything back to what it was, its origin again. That's what we're here for, is to have everything restored back to what Adam lost. I preach this over and over. This is nothing new. Adam never had to be sick. He never had to die. He never had to worry. He never had a heartache. He never had a fear. He just climbed up in the arms of the Father, and just like a child, everything was his. Whatever he asked, why, he just got it. Everything obeyed him because he was God's child, and the child is heir of all things. Now, don't pretend, don't think for a second that is what we're going to get in these bodies. That's for after we get our new bodies. We are going to get sick. We're going to have issues. We're going to have trials. We're going to have heartaches. Everything is not just going to obey us right off where we're in this world. This is a battle. This is where we're training. We're getting our character molded so that when we have that authority in the millennium, we don't abuse it. Because right now, some of us would abuse it if we had the power. Because we would do things that we weren't led by the Father to do. We might heal somebody that God didn't want healed. Do you have power to control yourself? When man fell, he lost this, and now what he lost in the fall, Christ come as a redeemer. Did you ever stop to think what Christ redeemed us for? Well, yeah, he redeemed us so I could wear my hair the right length, so I could wear my dress the right length, so I could say the right thing, so I could quote the prophet, so I could go to a good church, so I could pay my tithe, so I could have a good church life. That's what he redeemed us for. Okay, but you're not going in the rapture with that idea. You're redeemed to be the bride of Christ. And as the bride of Christ, he gives you authority over everything. Everything. Well, I believe that, Brother Phil, but I still struggle with this. Well, yeah, you still struggle with this. We all struggle with this. Does that mean it's not true? Remember when Israel, they came to the Jordan River and they said, oh, we can't take it. We can't go over it. The Canaanites are too strong. So they went and died in the wilderness. The next generation came along and they said, we're going to take it. We want to cross. And he said, destroy all the inhabitants of the land. They said, we don't want to destroy them all. That was a type of the Holy Ghost. They got the Holy Ghost, but they said, we don't really want to destroy all the inhabitants of the land. First of all, it's too hard. Second of all, we kind of like some of them. So when you get the Holy Ghost, God says, destroy all your enemies. You see, yeah, but I get one little besetting sin I just can't seem to overcome. Israelites, they say, you know what, we got some Canaanites living in our backyard back there, and they leave us alone. Once in a while, they come in the house and they steal some of our food. Beyond that, they kind of leave us alone. They mow the grass for us. Yeah, what are your besetting sins? Well, I just can't seem to overcome. Let me say, can we be honest here? The things you can't overcome is because you like them. You like those besetting sins. Your old nature likes it. You say, I hate it. Your old nature doesn't. It's because if it does, he'd quit doing it. I hate my temper. Something about you likes it because it gives you control when you need control, so you keep a hold of it. I hate this lust. Something about you likes that lust, so you keep a hold of that spirit. Whenever it hangs around there, you can just snatch it up when you need it. What else do you have besetting sins? How many Amalekites are playing around in your backyard that you don't go back and kill? You will. You will kill them all. Because you're going to take your full inheritance. My, that's good. What if we didn't have that word? What if we just had, you know, just do the best you can and hopefully one day you go into rapture? Wouldn't that be the most discouraging thing? There are some religions, that's what they preach. There are message believers who believe that. Just live the best you can, and one day, hopefully, you can make it. Brother and sister, that is not the gospel. The gospel says it has been promised to you. It's been guaranteed. Once you have been birthed into this body of Christ, you have everything that you need to go in the rapture. It's already done. I don't have to come up here and try to beat you and say, you need to do this, you need to do that, you got to start doing this, you need to start doing that. That ain't what I'm preaching. I'm preaching so you'll start believing in who you are. Because once you start believing who you are, you'll recognize all these besetting sins that I get some kind of pleasure out, even though it drives me crazy and makes me feel bad. They are nothing compared to what I have in store. Why would I dally in that when I have all of heaven before me? Why would I be playing around in this little junk that Satan can offer me when God has given me everything in the world? All it takes is just believing who we are. Oh, when the bride recognizes what she is. She is the overcomer. She is the end result of God's whole plan of redemption. We get to play out the last part right here. Oh, hallelujah. Now, the thing is, since he has restored man back to this place, man of the fall lost his conscience of what Father put him on earth to do. We have lost conscience of what we are put here to do. In other words, all the plumbing as it was in our brains, the outlets, the faith has been clogged up with business affairs, with home life, domestic things. It's become all clogged up until that God can't operate through these channels he made man for. That's why we come to church. That's why we fellowship. That's why we pray. That's why we pray. That's why we pray. It's to clear these channels out so God can speak to us. It's not just some religious thing. I'm a Christian, reads his Bible, prays every day. So here I go. Here's my Bible. Here's my prayer. See, I'm a Christian. No, you're not. When you pray, it's to talk to God personally and let him speak to you and see what he wants of you. Stop making it a religion. Stop making it a routine. If it's a routine, just stop. Don't even pray. You know what it is so many times? It's like you teach a little kid to pray. God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for his food. By his hands we all are fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. Amen. And that's a prayer. You know why they treat... Look, that's fine teaching your kid. Don't get me wrong. Teach the kid to pray. That's great. But let me tell you what. They need to learn really quickly that that's not a prayer. You know why they do what they're learning? They're learning God is some kind of a method or some kind of religion, or he's just some kind of a ritual. God ain't a ritual. He's a person. Let your kids hear you pray. Let him hear you talk to God as to a person. So many times in church, it's just a ritual. We say all the right words. We say all the right prayers. We say everything the way it's supposed to be. We say all the cliches. How real is he to you? We got everything clogging it up. Our business affairs, our home life, domestic things. It's all become so clogged. God can't operate through these channels he made man for. God wants us. He wants to restore these things. Brother Brown says this. Talk about this. Restoring. He says, so I believe this with all my... Let me go over the sentence. But he said, the law of sin and death works in the people, and the law of liberty of Christ has come unto us to set us free from those things. He said, I believe this with all my heart. I believe we are nearing the age when people are going to recognize these things. That we've had so much vain philosophy and so forth and teaching that ought not to be until it has set the mind to an evolution of things on matters of this and that, taking it away from the Word of God.
It got to a point where instead of recognizing what we're here for, what we've been called to do, we've had teaching and things, we've been taught about the message, we've been taught about the prophet, we've been taught about God, but we have forgot the main thing. And that's to be restored to what Adam lost. What does it do? Something mixing with our faith, and it produces a hybrid religion, a hybrid faith. We talk about perfect faith. What does perfect faith look like? Rapturing faith. What does that look like? When you see rapturing faith, what does it look like? When you see perfect faith, how do you recognize it? Oh, because brother and sister, when I have perfect faith, I'm just going to walk up to this brother and I'm going to say, what do you need? I'll give it to you. Boy, if that's not inspired by Satan. That ain't perfect faith. Jesus said, I only do that which pleases the Father. I do that what he showed me to do. Whether I understand it or not, whether I want to do it or not. That's perfect faith. Perfect faith took Jesus to Calvary. It don't make you a Superman as the world sees a Superman. It don't make you super spiritual as we would think to be super spiritual. As I said, faith doesn't come by fasting. Ain't that amazing? Faith doesn't come by praying or reading a book. All that's good, fasting, praying, reading a book. But faith comes by a settled something in the human heart that tells you just as sure as you come to this church tonight, when you come home, you told your wife you'd be home after the service is over. You do that unconsciously. Perfect faith is unconscious. You just do it because you just do it. Listen to what he says. You just got out and get in your car and go on home. Now, you could not do it unless you have faith you could do it. You never move from where you're sitting if you didn't have faith you could raise up. But you've done it so much, and you just become so accustomed to those laws till it's a natural thing. Brother Gene, would you stand up? Go ahead, stand up. Yeah, Brother Gene. That took faith for him to stand up. He said, well, no, it didn't. Yes, it did. It's a natural law. He believes the natural laws of faith. You go on and you flip the switch. The light comes on. You just know it's going to come on. Why? There are natural laws at play. You know the electricity is there. So electricity is going to flow to the light bulb and we're going to have light. There are natural laws. You have faith in the natural laws. Why can't we have faith in spiritual laws, which are more powerful than the natural laws? Jesus said, ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's stronger than flipping on that light switch. See how we get so, we're so living in such a natural world. We live in so many, we're so influenced by these things around us. I'm not saying this to beat us down. This is just a human condition. But God once says, hey, let's think about things that are more spiritual. Let's get our minds on heavenly things. If I believe that I can go out to my car, put the key in, turn it on, and drive home, I have a faith to do that. Why don't I have faith to go up and put my hand on someone and say, Jesus Christ heals you? When will he lead me to do that? Now, if we would just throw ourselves completely to God and to his will and be lost to our own thoughts and just let the mind of Christ be in us. Let me go back. I'm going too fast. If we could just throw ourselves completely to God and to his will and be lost to our own thoughts and just let the mind of Christ be in us, them same operations of the Spirit would work through us just as the natural thing does, just the same thing. Because we were first created for that. Purpose to control, to rule, to praise God, and to live for God. That was the first reason you were created. That was why God created human beings to begin with, is to have that relationship with him, to walk in that perfect faith. And with that faith, Adam controlled the earth, the elements, everything. Adam didn't sit there and think, "Now I had to pray really hard to get that tree to move." For Adam, it was just as simple as flipping the light switch. Tree, I need you to go over there. Why? Because he was so in tune with God's natural faith, spiritual. It was just unconscious for him. That's where we're getting back to. Now, in this body, the battle we're facing, the devil and everything, it's not going to be like that completely, brother and sister. But we're going to see it. Because, brother and sister, that's how you're going to get out of here in a rapture, that rapturing faith.
Some of you are looking at me like, I don't know, Brother Phil. You're painting a pretty picture, but let's be real. None of you are looking at it like that. I'm just making that up. Don't worry about it. What I'm telling you is more real than anything else you can see right now with your natural eye. It's more real than this. It is going to happen more real than this is going to sit here right now. The bride, this is her inheritance. This is what she comes to. Perfect faith, rapturing faith, is just going to be just the same as you get out, you get up and walk out of the room. It's just going to come natural for you. Because it's what God led you to do next. Let me read you one more quote. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things I do not see. See what I mean? Now listen to what he said. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Excuse me a second. The evidence of things I do not see. How can there be an evidence of something you don't see? He said, here in my pocket, I think there's an old Barlow knife I've carried for years. Now, I do not see that knife. I do not feel that knife. I do not taste that knife. I do not smell that knife. But I know that knife is in there. How do you know? Because I believe it's in there. Now, if it's not there, faith will put it there if it's not there. He said, that chokes you, I know. Do you believe that? That chokes you, I know, but that's the truth. If you believe, all things are possible. You're afraid to take God, friends. You're scared. You say, so if I'm out and I need my knife, I could just believe it was in my pocket. I could reach into my knife and pull it out. Is that what you're saying? No, that's what the prophet's saying. He's your prophet. You claim to believe him. You're afraid to take God. You're scared. Now, I might have left that knife lying on my dresser when I changed clothes a while ago. But just as sure, if that knife is on the dresser right now, if I believe with all my heart, it'll be in my pocket. That chokes you. But God is able to put it there if you believe it. That's perfect faith. That is what it takes, brother. Since you say, I don't know how I'm ever going to get there. Just keep going. You will get there. It's guaranteed. That's why we keep coming to church. It's get all these other channels unclogged. Get everything else out of the way so we recognize this is my purpose. My purpose is to take control. My purpose is to control the elements. My purpose is to control this earth. And I only do that through faith. And so God has provided a way for me to do that. And that's why I'm here. Now, what's standing in your way? So God puts us through things to prove his word. I'm going to tell you a story that happened just recently. And you might believe this and you might not, but it's up to you. I went backpacking a couple weeks ago. Washington, state of Washington, up in the Cascade Mountains. And we drove way, way up, way back up into the mountains. Parked a car. We got out, we put our packs on, we hiked up further up into the mountains, spend the night up there.
We hike back down to the car. We're going to put our big packs in the car, get a little day packs, and go hike this other, like, way back into the woods and come back, get our packs, and go camp again. We got back to the car, and the lady who was driving, she took off her backpack. On the top of your heavy backpack, there's a little pouch. Not very big, just like about the size of a Bible. She opens it up to get the keys, and she looks in there. She said, oh, my goodness, the key isn't in here. The key to the car. So she went over there doing something else. I went into that pouch, this big, and I went through. She had about half a dozen things there. I looked through there. There was no key in there. I stepped back. She did something else. I said, it's got to be in there. I went through. I looked through that twice. She looked through it once. Three times we looked through that pouch. There's no key. You say, you didn't look very closely. Let me reiterate where we were. We were on the top of a mountain, miles from anything. You think I didn't look carefully for that key? Because if there's no key in there, who knows? There are people around. We could have got a ride way back to a little town. Who knows where we're going to find a key for that little Honda Civic she had. We were four or five hour drive from her home. We were stranded. And then she said, oh, I remember when we left camp, I put the key in my coat pocket. Whew. So she grabbed her jacket out. She looked in it. No, looked in it. No one there. The other jacket. She grabbed her other jacket. She looked, no key. She just seen the look on her face. She just seen the look on all of our faces. We were starting to realize, uh-oh. And I was standing there just like this. I was watching, and I said this quietly. I never said a word out loud. I said, God, we need that key. Please show us where it's at. She dropped what she was doing. She went over to that pack. She opened up that pouch and pulled the key out. You say, where was that key? I don't know. It could have been on the side of the mountain until I said that prayer. I don't know, but it was in that pouch. She didn't dig for it. It was on top. She just pulled out. She turned to me. She said, I thought you said the key wasn't in there. She had looked herself. I just laughed. I said, God put it in there. She said, okay. And we went hiking. And we walked down the road, and I thought about that quote I just read about that Barlow knife. I'm not preaching some doctrine, something that's not been tried. I'm preaching reality, folks. I'm preaching experience. This is where we're at. Now, you know what could have happened? It could have gone like this. You lost the key? Oh, my goodness, you're always doing something like that. What's wrong with you? This is the third time you lost that key. Guess where we would have found that key? We wouldn't have. But isn't that the way we react so many times? We react where we totally destroy the atmosphere where God can work in faith. And we start blaming someone else because they just made our life a little bit difficult. Because we have never done that. We've never made anyone else's life difficult. We have a right to hold it against them. Atmosphere, brother and sister. Create an atmosphere. And you know why I could stand there and pray that and believe it? Because I knew I was in God's perfect will up on that mountain, because he had shown me the day before, 2 days before, that that's where I was supposed to be. And I had no doubt. I was serving his will. And so I didn't have to sit there and pray through, God, I don't know if I'm really supposed to be here or not. See all that doubt? It's not going to work. You got to walk in his perfect will as he leads you. He's a good guy. Boy, it's good her ever pull that key out of that pouch. Let's stand. God is good all the time, brother and sister. Today at work, we had a assembly. We had everyone come together. We do this program every year at work where we have people, you can donate money back to the company to take care of needs. And we had this lady, she gave a little talk about how our company, that money we had given her when her son had died. She had, in 2014, she had been diagnosed with cancer. her brother had died, and she had overcome the cancer, and then her son had taken meningitis and suffered for a while, and he died. She's a Christian, denominational Christian. She got up there, and she praised God. She gave glory to God for being so good to her. There's no bitterness. She had the sweetest spirit. She's a denominational Christian. And she stood there and told us how thankful for she was for the money we had given her so her son could be buried because she didn't have enough money. 4-year-old. She's not even a message believer, folks. We would look down our nose at her because she goes to a denominational church. But what an attitude. I was sitting talking to my friend afterwards, and he's a good guy. He said, I would have been mad at God for a while. She wasn't. She put it in his hands. She's planning on seeing her son one day. That's what she believes. I hope God does that for her. What an attitude. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful, Father, that you so love us. You so take care of every need we have. How thankful we are. Lord, you came tonight and just painted a picture, just showing us what you have for us. You brought the word to illustrate what you expect, what's going to happen, what is happening now, what is happening. You want us to recognize it. You want us to walk in faith. You want us to create a positive atmosphere. You want us to believe the simple word you give us. You said, ask anything in my name, and I will do it. And then you turn around, and your prophet says, you need to control all the elements of the earth. The bride has been restored back to all Adam lost. What a responsibility we have. And the only way this word will come to pass, Lord, is if we create an atmosphere and walk in faith. And we can't do that when we're catering to our own fleshly desires, our pride, our feelings. But your word says we will. Oh, that gives us such joy. Lord, let your will be done in our lives. Even tonight, Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday morning. I think Brother Jerry will be back. Hopefully he'll be preaching. Let's sing God is Good all the time. Isn't he good to us?